my God, how has it been, little holes far and wide? Welcome back to Thriller Best Hours. It has been a little hot minute. Welcome back to season two. What has not been going on? I hope you've all been good. I've appreciated all your emails. Currently, you can hear my flat a-rocking. The weather in the UK at the moment, there's storm warnings mostly every day. So my whole apartment is shaking. It sounds like the bow of a ship is swaying back and forth. So if you guys can hear it, fucking enjoy that. Sounds like a bed creaking or some shit. Nothing that exciting. But where have I been? That is the question. All of you guys have been like, where are you? Keep saying you're coming back. Oh my God, it's snowing. Oh, it's snowing outside. Dreams do come true. Yeah, where have you been? And I keep like saying I'm coming back and then not coming back. You know what? It's just been a mental health type of thing. You know, you guys kind of heard the end of last season. A lot kind of happened regarding losing my best mate the middle of last year. Then obviously I got corona, had my tit job. This is all just a little flyby for everyone. Had my boob job while having corona. So that was not ideal for anyone. And then over Christmas, my partner lost someone really close to him. Actually, two people were really close to him. So, yeah, Christmas wasn't Christmas. And it's been kind of super sad ever since. But we are back. We are going to stay back every week. So stay tuned. And I really appreciate all of you sticking with me. But I think there's only one way up from here. And that is fucking through... And to continue talking about the things that make me happy. And you know what? This podcast, as much as I enjoy connecting with all of the listeners, and there are many of you from everywhere, it wasn't making me happy as it used to. I almost felt like I was on a stage and like I had to perform or something or become this kind of funny, kind of sexed person. And I just wasn't really feeling like it. I wasn't really feeling like the person I normally am on the podcast. And you know what? Actually, I still don't really feel like it. But change is good. And I hope you guys will still love the podcast. It's going to go in a new direction this season. Obviously, we're still going to have all of our slutty, stupid, hole-esque content. We're going to be talking a lot more about real life. Because working as a stripper, as much as it was fascinating... It's not everybody's reality. And even the girls who do work in the industry, you know, it's an in and out thing. So as well as covering all of that, we're going to be covering a lot of real life shit. So first of all, talking about real life, where have I been? Where have I been? Where have I not been? I went to, just before Christmas, I went to Egypt, actually. And we went for a month just to get some like winter sun. And I will fucking tell you, holes far and wide... If you want to get some winter sun, go to Africa. Egypt was great. We went and, you know, camped in the Sahara Desert and did all of these amazing, amazing things. And the weather was perfect. It was, you know, 28 every day, clear. And it wasn't muggy at all. It was very, like, dry heat. Not a cloud in the sky most days. Never saw rain, obviously. The people. Now, this is one thing I was going to really like talk about today because it still fills me with dread in my soul. And I know that I'm not coming from the most sane of places at the moment, but yeah, predominantly Muslim countries. Now, I've only been to a few of them and Egypt being the most recent. Obviously, there is a massive culture change there from those people who come from the West. So, you know, this isn't me bashing that kind of change or divide or not. It's more about, I found it quite uncomfortable to walk around Egypt on my own. I was with my partner. So like when we were together, it was always like, this is your husband. They always said husband. They don't really quite understand, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, some of the more like, I guess... modern resorts do, but even there, you know, they kind of cover all bases and always assume that you're married, which is one thing. Second of all, walking around on your own is just, it's fucking fraught with ridiculous amounts of attention coming up to you, people whistling at you. I got followed down the street one day on my own by like a group of men, and I had to like literally follow another Westerner, like a man. He was walking on his own, I was walking on my own, and I had to like follow him and like pretend like I was with him, even though he had his headphones in, and I just like pretended like we were together to feel more safe. Now, I've never encountered anything like that in the UK. I'm sure a lot of women, we get like heckled, and you know, like I've told you about the white van man story where, you know, men stick their head out of the fucking white van. This is a stereotype, by the way. So, I mean, it happens. It happens everywhere. It's always going to happen everywhere. I mean, I would hope that, you know, times are changing, but unfortunately, us women can't wait for that to be able to go and explore the world. So I did find it quite intimidating. As a woman who's used to being looked at on all forms of things, including this podcast, which that's another thing I'll come back to in a minute. My job on the stage, being naked in front of men, women, whatever. I'm not really that shy, but I did find it a little bit difficult. And yeah, so that would be one thing that you'd have to probably bear in mind when going to a country where it's not the norm to be with a man and not be married. And to not, you know, I had to wear like very, 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 kind of restrictive dress, I guess. How would you call it? I can't even say it because I never fucking wear it. Restrictive dress. I had to wear moderate dress. Fuck me. It's been a while since I've done a podcast. Modest fucking dress. I bet all of you out there are shouting like modest. Right. Okay. This bitch doesn't wear modest shit. Like, fuck, my partner always says to me, like, you have a warped version of, because I'm always like, this is so granny, but it's just normal. Nothing, you know, skirts don't have to be in your asshole to be attractive. Right, I get that. But yeah, it's always, you know, in Egypt, it was always like shoulders covered, you know, long trousers. And that's just to be respectful of the culture. And I completely understand that. With my big fucking badonky tits, you know, that was like turtlenecks every day. It was just a lot. But I mean, I'm so down for that, being respectful of your culture that you're in and your environment. Because actually, you're a visitor, you're a tourist. So yeah, so I was definitely down for that. But like, even when you're wearing fucking flawless fucking ceiling windows on your fucking windows, curtains on your body, and there's still men following you down the road, whistling, shouting at you, like you getting winks, like people trying to touch you, saying, can I, like literally this happened, can I buy you for X amount of camels? Like, first of all, it was like 4 camels. So I was like, why is it not 44 camels? Because surely I'm worth that. Second of all, camels? Like, fuck. I did ride a camel, actually. The camel! It was a very fun experience, but yeah, I was on this camel by the fucking pyramids, and yeah, you know, when I'm getting my fucking gap year traveling in my 30s, on this fucking camel, we're running around the sand dunes, and I'm like, what's the name of this camel? And it was the fucking name of my best friend who just died. And I was just like, she's here with me in fucking camel form. It was a lot, you know. I got all emotional on this camel. Oh, this man was like, why are you crying over this camel? It was a lot. But yeah, the pyramids are insane. We went to like the Valley of the Kings. We went to see Tutankhamun's tomb, which was like the one that was discovered in the 50s. That was completely intact and completely full of gold and finery and slattery. So obviously there was none of that there when we arrived, because that's all been taken to the Egyptian Museum, which we also went to, which is fucking fabulous. But yeah, this king was like 18 years old, and like he died of some sort of, I don't fucking know, they say it was a war wound or something, but because he was so young when he died, his tomb was like half the size, if not like a quarter of the size, of all the other tombs that had been discovered. Trouble is, they had all been ransacked before they arrived. So this was the first intact tomb that was found, full of gold, like riches beyond belief. And yeah, and we saw some fucking mummies. We saw some actual dried up mummy dick. Like, we literally saw it. It was a lot. So I would definitely, I'd say 8 out of 10 for Egypt, if only they could understand the leering is not, you know, it's not comfortable for anyone. I mean, people would say to me, why don't you just go out with your boyfriend all the time? But I don't want to have to fucking walk everywhere with my partner all the time. I mean, I did kind of come back to the hotel a few times. Like, I couldn't go in the gym at one day because a guy was literally stood in the gym in the resort, which is full of Westerners, staring into my holes, like stood over me, staring into my crotch while I was doing sit-ups. I'm like, I literally just got up and left. I could not believe it. It was the most, you know, shockingly perverse experience when you're just not expecting it, you're just trying to work out on your own. So yeah, women, ladies, if you are thinking about going to Egypt, I can only speak for Egypt. And we traveled out around a lot of Egypt as well. We went on like a cruise down the Nile. So it's not like we just went to Cairo. We went to Hagada. We went to Luxor. We went to all the places along the Nile. So pretty much the whole length of Egypt, I got the feeling of being watched, shouted at, people haggling me throughout the whole time I was there. I wish I'd kind of worn a wedding ring, a fake wedding ring. Maybe that would have helped. I've had people say that to me since, like, you should have worn a fake band. But I doubt that these men are really checking your fingers to check whether you've got a band on or not. I don't know. I just think they just see you as this kind of alien. But, you know, I would go back. But it's just, I mean, I did joke sometimes. I was saying to, like, my partner, like, I wanted to be invisible there. And that's not cool when you're on holiday in this fucking amazing place. So other than that, the history was fucking sick. And the majority of the people we met, the women especially, oh my God, there was this funny, oh my God, you need to hear this. So we went for a massage and they were like, you and your husband, you and your husband come in for the massage. It's like this Turkish massage. And so they like rub you down with all these bubbles and stuff and like lie you on your front. I said to this, because I had a woman and my partner had a man, and we had them in like massages in the same room. And they were like, right, lie on your front. And I was like, no, I can't lie on my front because I just had my boobs done. And I still can't lie on my front. These fuckers are so big that they don't allow for comfortable lieage on front. Like, we've had issues with sex, all of this stuff. Because, yeah, and especially if someone's pushing hard down on your back, you don't want these fucking things popping into your armpit. So I was like, no. Is it okay if I do the massage sat up on the bed? And I just kind of, I said, because, you know, I've just had surgery. And I kind of made a circle motion across my chest. And she was like, baby? I think she heard baby instead of surgery. And I was like, no. She's like, oh, baby. Oh, and then she started like hugging my stomach. And I was like, oh, fucked it now. So basically, for the rest of the 2-hour massage, I was having a pregnancy massage without even fucking wanting one. I was like, can you go a bit harder? She's like, no, we have to be careful of the baby. And then every time I'd get up off the bed, she'd hold my hand and she'd be like, oh, be careful of the baby. And she was so sweet. And she was just like, she kept touching my stomach and like leading me through. And she was like, congratulations. They were like, congratulations at the end. And me and my partner were like, we didn't have the heart to tell them because they couldn't quite understand boob job. I meant boob job, bitch. I didn't mean fucking baby. But yeah, I didn't have the heart to tell her. She was fucking so sweet. And like, I thought it was just too much. We're not married and I've had a fucking boob job. Not, you know, this is my husband and we're having a, you know, legitimate child. So that was actually pretty funny. And she was super sweet. But I just, yeah, like I said, didn't have the heart to tell her. I was just a massive hoe. But that's going to conclude the end of the Egypt section. Then I moved on from Egypt. We went to Norway recently as well. So I think I've, and like kudos to my partner who's been really, really supportive in his grief as well. You know, he's, you know, like anyone going through grief, and I know, you know, I'm sure lots of you guys know out there, it's not the easiest time for anyone, but we went to Norway and he arranged a trip to go and see the Northern Lights. And right, it's such a like lucky, very, very lucky situation. if you go there for like a long weekend or even a week, if you're gonna go somewhere up north in the Scandi countries, Greenland, Iceland, we went to Tromsø, which is northern Norway, right by Finland. And, you know, you can't expect to see the northern lights when you just turn up there swanning for a couple of days. And all the Norwegians say this to you. They're like, well, you know, all these tourists who just expect to, you know, come and see the northern lights when they haven't earned their stripes yet. Well, me and my fucking partner turned the fuck up in Norway and saw them the second day. And we're not talking just a little bit of green here. We're talking the whole pussy red, green, blue waffle extravaganza. It was like a whole light sky full of fucking... Yeah, it was just so good. I'm going to post some pictures on the Instagram of the blue waffle. It was genuinely extreme. So we went and saw that. We went on a husky ride, blah, yada, yada. And actually, it did wonders for our mental health. Like, the people there are just very, very fucking polite, very sweet. Yeah, and just really happy to be... not, I just hate to say happy to be alive, but you get this kind of overwhelming sense of... because they don't really get a lot of sunlight. So basically, if you don't know already, half the year in Norway doesn't get sun and half the year does. I don't know the exact like months that do, months that don't. I think it changes for the part of Norway that you're in. But the place we were in Tromsø, which is about 2 and a bit hours plane ride from Oslo, they basically don't get sun from October to maybe February. And so when we went on one of these tours, we had like a Tromsø native speak to us about the Northern Lights, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, today, I'm not going to do the accent because I don't want to be fucking embarrassing, but I'm going to do it anyway. It was very, it's almost a little bit like that. I can't do it. They've got the sweetest fucking accents. I can't fucking do it. She's like, I got so emotional when I saw the sun today. I cried. Tears were filling in my eyes. And I was like, this is a bit dramatic, but I had the same vibe from a lot of people. Like, did you see the sun today? Did you see the sun today? And I'm like, yes. What? I mean, even in London, we see more sun than these fuckers. And you can't buy booze after 6 p.m. because obviously everyone drinks because they're always in the darkness. But they have so much cheer. And for people who don't see the sun, and then for the rest of the year, they don't ever not see the sun. So the sun never sets. So they're basically in fucking sunlight when they're going to sleep, waking up, everything. It just fucks you up. I don't know how people live up there. I mean, obviously, they're probably clearly used to it. And there's so much fucking beauty. And how are they so positive? So I took a lot of that Scandi positivity away with me, and I'm fucking funneling it through this podcast right now to all of you. Fuck. If you don't see the sunlight for fucking 6 months, and then you're literally welling, your eyes are welling up because you're so happy for just seeing the sun. Like, that is just so wild to me. So, moving on and bringing that positivity into a fucking place where I'm going to now tell you guys what is going to happen with this podcast this season. Now, you have all given me, and a lot of my guests, purpose throughout lockdown. I've had a lot of interaction with a lot of people that I probably wouldn't have had interaction with, and it definitely kept me sane through the darkest of times this last 2 years, probably. And so, leading on from that, I haven't really been completely, like, transparent with you guys. I mean, I feel... I'm with myself. I think that, you know, hiding behind a balaclava and talking about arseholes all the time, all the while, you know, kind of protecting the anonymity of the guests. I think I want to... really change that up this season and start showing more of myself, start being more honest, open, and just frank about my views on things. I think the biggest reason as well, you know, working with and podcasting about a lot of situations and conundrums in the sex industry, there does come a veil of mystery there, and which there should, and everyone has a right to not want their stories to be out there with their face blasted all over it. So I was completely understanding of that, and I still am completely understanding of that.
I feel like there's been enough time passed now that this can be done in a respectful way. And I think, you know, sitting with myself for a long time and not doing the podcast and needing a lot more of a kind of boost, I think, from talking about different things. Because as much as I loved and love the sex industry, and it has taught me a lot and brought me to a lot of good friends, it is not my whole life anymore. And, you know, lockdown, that was a completely different time in all of our lives, especially mine. And so to kind of signify this change and to move on into something a lot more positive, because I was struggling with positivity. Part of the reason why I didn't do the podcast, as I said previously, is because I just didn't feel that I had this happy, perky self that anyone would want to listen to. And now I don't really feel that pressure. Stripper stories signifies a different time in my life. And so without further ado, we are going to say this is the last episode of Stripper Stories. That is right, the last episode of Stripper Stories, as it is known. We'll still be back every week on with a different name, a different brand, a different vibe. Yeah, that's right, a different fucking vibe. I have decided to name the new podcast after two things that mean a lot to me, that I want to represent this fucking Phoenix new fucking birthing. May not be out of an arsehole, might just be out of a hole of any kind. I guess you bet you can't guess what it's called. The new name. Okay, well, I think it's time to introduce to you the new fucking jingle to the new podcast. Open those holes for the first time. What is up, holes? Welcome back to another episode of Happy Little Holes, the podcast with your host, Cloho. The place where we will endeavour to keep those holes happy. Every week, with far from wholesome conversations. So, that is it. It is out. Happy Little Holes, the podcast, will be out next week. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today, and we will see you next week with Happy Little Holes.